Wednesday, everyone, and welcome to tonight's program. We're so happy you guys are joining us. There's so much to unpack, and we've got quite the lineup, so you've got a lot in store for today. I wanted to go a little bit more into detail as to what took place yesterday at the Supreme Court, because it was a historic day. Many of you, I'm sure, are aware what took place, but it was regarding January 6th, and the Supreme Court heard opening arguments regarding 1512C, which is the obstruction charge, which so many J6ers by the hundreds have actually been slapped with. And this case is critical because it would save so many J6ers. And that's why it was incredible to see it and listen to it, I guess I should say, play out yesterday in the Supreme Court. Now, this is only making its way to the Supreme Court because of Joseph Fisher, whose attorney did argue in front of the Supreme Court justices. And well, I'll say I personally, in my opinion, did a mediocre job, I guess I'd say. But it was really impressive seeing the line of questioning that came out from the justices yesterday, because it kind of sounded a little clear that they were questioning why this law was being applied to this charge was being applied to these defendants. And ultimately, since it's so vague, why is the Biden administration specifically going after J6ers? Well, as many of you know, we on this show think it's politically motivated, of course. And well, the Biden administration had to answer for that. And that was what's so important about all of this. Now, the corporate media, they couldn't even downplay it. Many of them had to admit that the DOJ has got an uphill battle with explaining this. And yesterday, the U.S., it was the Solicitor General, Elizabeth Pergolo. She was the woman who was arguing it. And well, I think she did a mediocre job. It was quite confusing to follow her, mainly because the argument in itself as to why the DOJ was applying this charge to so many J6ers was pretty difficult to wrap your mind around. And I think a lot of the justices understood just that, and that's the reason why they were asking questions. Now, the only wild card I'd throw out there probably would be Justice Amy Coney Barrett, because ultimately she was asking questions, but she wasn't 100% on the side that I would hope she'd be on. So that's just my takeaway from everything. And obviously yesterday we gave you a little bit more depth. But don't listen to me, I'm not a lawyer. So let's bring in criminal defense attorney Ed Tarpley. Ed also represented Stuart Rhodes during the Oath Keepers trial. Ed, you were there front and center during all of this as this played out yesterday. What was your takeaway from everything?
Well, I was very pleased with the questions that the justices were asking. It seemed to me like there was a great deal of concern by them about what the Department of Justice has done in taking this law and using it the way they used it. Because if you will recall, the 1512 statute was passed as a part of the Sarbanes-Oxley bill in the wake of the Enron scandal. And it had to do with the spoliation of evidence, with tampering with evidence. And it was a very specific law, because they were concerned about what had happened in the Enron case with evidence that had been tampered with. And so what happened here is the Department of Justice took a part of that law, 1512C2, and they applied it to the January 6th protesters. And they specifically focused on the subsection that dealt with impeding or obstructing an official proceeding. It's the statute, and let me just read the statute your listener real quick, because it's a little complicated to understand what this is all about. But it's the effect of the use of this statute has been devastating, because it carries with it a 20-year sentence.
Yes,
the statute says 1512C2. Whoever corruptly alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record, document, or other object, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in an official proceeding, or two, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Well, that is a draconian statute. And what's happened is that the Department of Justice took this phrase otherwise obstructs, influences, and impedes any official proceeding. And they applied it to what happened on January 6th. And so over 350 people have been found guilty of 1512C2. And they have received jail time as a result of this. Now, you can get up to 20 years. No one's gotten up to 20 years. Maybe one of the Proud Boys got up to, I think, got 22 years, but over 20 years. But in our case, in the Rhodes case, Stuart Rhodes, I was part of the defense team for Stuart Rhodes. I mean, he received an 18-year sentence, okay? And this statute was one of the ones he was convicted of. So what the DOJ did is they took something and used it in a way that it had never been used before. And so the questions from the justice were fascinating. Justice Gorsuch, in my opinion, probably had some of the best questions because he wanted to know whether or not this same statute would apply to the protesters in San Francisco blocking a highway, or whether or not it would apply to someone pushing a fire alarm to delay a vote in Congress, or whether or not it would apply to someone that was yelling about an issue and you know, going into Congress and disrupting a meeting or a speech or something like that. So in any event, he asked these questions, and Elizabeth Prolegar, the Solicitor General, she simply couldn't answer them in a way that made any sense. And so I thought that Justice Gorsuch really pointed out the failure of the DOJ position, in that they have tried to use this statute, but guess what? They've only used it selectively because they have not used it against anybody else in any other way other than the way they did against the January 6th protesters.
Yeah, I think that's so important because the justices were alluding to it. It shows a clear bias, and it's obviously politically motivated by the Biden administration. And I think, you know, you and I see it because we follow these cases. They have not prosecuted any of the BLM rioters as egregiously as they've gone after these J6 protesters. Ultimately, I mean, there was the one case, even in New York, that the DOJ ended up working out a plea agreement with two lawyers, people who graduated law school and are seen on video and on photo firebombing an NYPD vehicle moments after officers exited the car. And the DOJ negotiated a plea agreement for a year for both of those attorneys. And they were, yes, disbarred. But then we have people like your client who did not go into the Capitol that day, did not commit an act of violence that day, and was sentenced to 18 years in prison. So when you compare both of those, I think it's pretty obvious that there's a bias here with this Department of Justice. Now, I wanted to ask you specifically about Stuart Rhodes, because you were in the Supreme Court. Obviously, you were there. You were listening to what was going on. Specifically, why were you there that day to listen in?
Well, I was there yesterday because I had filed an amicus brief on behalf of the former Feds Group Freedom Foundation. I know you're familiar with Brad Geyer from New Jersey, and this is a group that is a 501c3 nonprofit group that was formed a few years ago to basically advocate for medical health freedom and bring to the front the issue, bring to the fore the issues that have plagued so many Americans, the people who died as a result of the hospital protocols and people who've died as a result of the vaccines. The vaccine mandates, all those issues are part of the things that the former Feds Group Freedom Foundation is concerned about. Now, our particular concern was this. We believe that the issue, that the statute is unconstitutional because we think it's vague and overbroad.
Yeah.
We think that it can be used to deny people their First Amendment right of the freedom to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, who's to say that the government could take this statute, 1412C2, and use it against anyone who is trying to influence an official proceeding? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the words of the statute. So the way the statute is written, it's so broad, it's so vague, it's so unclear as to the meaning of the statute and how it could be applied, that we believe that it could be applied to peaceful protesters protesting for health freedom or any number of issues. So that's one of the things that we brought out in our brief. And I will say this, that Justice Amy Coney Barrett, at the end of the argument yesterday, she raised the issue of the violation of First Amendment freedoms, and where the DOJ application of 1512C2 fit into that. And she asked the question, I mean, are we talking about chilling free speech here? Are we talking about a situation where people would be afraid to go out and demonstrate or protest and exercise their First Amendment rights because they're afraid that they may be prosecuted by the government for violating 1512C2? She asked that question. Well, the Solicitor General said, well, no, she didn't think so, because you know there would have to be in a corrupt intent and other aspects to the prosecution that they would have to establish in order to bring a prosecution. In other words, she attempted to say that no, that wouldn't fit, that you know that wouldn't qualify. Yeah. Okay, but guess what? We don't know that. We don't really know that, and so I really was pleased that Justice Amy Coney Barrett brought that issue out, and that is the violation of our First Amendment freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and the freedom to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And that's one of the issues that we brought out in our amicus brief for the former Feds Group Freedom Foundation.
Yeah, Ed, and I think it's interesting because mainly it looks like they're doing, I would say, a little bit of prosecutorial overreach here right now with the Department of Justice. But I also wanted to mention the fact that U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, who's the one who's going after all these J6ers, he pretty much alluded to the fact that if the Supreme Court doesn't rule in favor of them, that they're going to, and anyone who has their sentences reduced, that they're going to go, and for the lesser charges that they got lesser sentences for, they're going to ask for a stiffer sentence there. Have you ever, as a criminal defense attorney, have you ever witnessed that before? And what do you think the Supreme Court will say about that? Because he said that before they've even given their ruling. Do you think that they might actually address that in their ruling?
Well, I don't know if they will or not. I know that that's a very harsh tactic to be used by the U.S. attorney. And it appears that that it shows a certain willingness to take advantage of the position that the defendants are in. I mean, you have to understand they already are convicted of certain statutes. And now the Supreme Court has ruled this statute unconstitutional, or they have reversed the conviction and said that this statute shouldn't have been applied this way. Well, now they would be entitled to be resentenced, and so the government is saying, "Well, tough, we're going to just come back and try to enhance your sentence by increasing the exposure to incarceration on one of the other charges that you've already been convicted on." And so it doesn't seem fair at all. And it just seems like it's one more indication that the Department of Justice has used 1512C2 and other statutes to crush those involved in the January 6th protest. In other words, it's a cruel and harsh application of the law. Look, we all believe in the rule of law, but you know, justice should be tempered with mercy. And you know, for the government to use these statutes for the sole purpose of trying to give a defendant more time when they already have received jail time is really, it's just not right. And it goes against everything we stand for as Americans, and it's a stain on the American system of justice. I will say this, that Justice Kavanaugh yesterday alluded to that. When he said to the Solicitor General, Ms. Prolegar, he said, look, this defendant, Mr. Fisher, he's charged with six other charges. He's got six other charges against him. was it really necessary to charge him with 1512C2? I mean, didn't you already have enough charges against him to deal with the conduct that he committed on the day of the offense? I mean, like, why are you piling on? I mean, why even use this statute against Mr. Fisher? He already had 6 charges against him. Prolegar, you know, attempted to answer the question and said, well, you know, the government believes that every conduct of any defendant should be addressed by the courts and you should be held accountable for what you did. And then Justice Kavanaugh came back and said, well, he said, is it no small moment that the other 6 charges are all misdemeanors and 1512C2 is a felony carrying a 20-year sentence? And you know, the effect was really pretty clear in the courtroom. Yeah, sure, we know why you're using this. It's all about stacking on and piling on additional time against these guys. That's what this is all about. There's nothing to do here with fairness. This is all about we're the government and we're going to crush you for coming up here and protesting. Regardless of what you did, we're going to crush you and we've got the statute to do it with and we can put you away for a long time. And so, I mean, but Justice Kavanaugh brought that out and I was surprised that he did. And I thought to myself, wow, that shows you right there that the justices really understand what's going on with the January 6th prosecutions and what the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia has done.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's refreshing to hear that because just from the outside looking in, it's just as just a regular citizen watching what's going on, it's disgusting, it's un-American, and it's disturbing to see the DOJ getting away with it. So I was excited to see the Supreme Court taking on this case, and I'm pretty sure there's plenty of others they're going to be willing to take on as well. So it's going to be interesting to see their decision come down as well. Do you expect normally the timeline is probably June, July for that decision to come down?
It'll be done by the end of June. Let me just say this. I feel like there are 6 solid votes in favor of reversing the convictions. Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Clarence Thomas, Justice Alito, Samuel Alito, all had great questions. And then Gorsuch, his questions were just devastating. I mean, you know, if you get a chance to go back and read the transcript, because he's just devastating on what he did, because he pointed out the instances where the government could have used their application of 1512C2, and they have not, but yet they used it against the January 6th defendants. And I think statement about the guy pulling the fire alarm to delay a vote in Congress.
Yeah, the congressman, yeah.
Congressman Bowman, I mean, that was really great. And so, so you got Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and I believe Amy Coney Barrett is going to be there too. Now, actually, let me just say this: right at the end of the proceeding, Justice Ketanji Jackson actually asked a couple of really good questions that were very favorable to Fisher. So anyway, so who knows? It could be a 7-2, and so it would be amazing. So look, well, let's just see what happens. But look, I felt really good about it. I just want to encourage people to keep praying. Look, we were praying in the courtroom yesterday, praying for the justices, praying for the lawyers. I just want to ask all your listeners, look, pray for the Supreme Court justices. There's a lot of weight on their shoulders. This is such an important case, and it will have enormous effects all throughout the January 6th prosecutions. And it will be a major rebuke to the Department of Justice. There's no question about it. It will be a major rebuke to them saying, y'all were out of line. What you did was wrong. And we are reversing you right now. So that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, that's what we're hoping goes down. I mean, I honestly, I'm very hopeful of this. But I don't want to mislead the audience in getting their hopes up too high. But the DOJ has just overdone it here. And it's so obvious. I couldn't imagine anyone else arguing against just that, Ed. They will, but ultimately it's because they're politically biased. Anyone who's looking at this just from a neutral standpoint and who understands how the law in this country works and how it's applied understands just that. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, let me just finish by saying this. Yesterday, it seemed to me that the Solicitor General was having a tough time answering the questions. If you listen to any of the oral argument, she was speaking very rapidly. She seemed confused. She just did not seem to be on solid footing in answering the questions. And she made several important concessions to the justices about issues in the case. So, look, I think that Mr. Fisher's lawyer, Mr. Green, did a really good job. But let me tell you what, the justices themselves exhibited their concern about the way the Department of Justice has applied this law. So that to me spoke volumes. And look, body language is important. And you could see on their faces, you could see as they moved and as they spoke, and the concern that the justices had about this case. And I mean, look, it meant everything to be there in the courtroom because, you know, we filed an amicus brief, but to just see the justices in person asking their questions and making their statements, it was powerful. And I'm very, very hopeful.
Yes, I am too. Thank you, Ed Tarpley. We greatly appreciate your time. We'll have you back on when we get their decision. So thank you, Ed. Yeah. I wanted to bring you an update regarding a story we covered here on this show just a few weeks ago. Many of you might recall, I wanted to bring you an update on a story we covered on this show just a few weeks ago. Some of you may recall we had Dexter Taylor on our program. Dexter was being prosecuted by the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office for what they say he was creating and manufacturing ghost guns. Now, as many of you know, that's not illegal federally, but in New York State, the communists hate guns so much that they just completely dismiss the Second Amendment. Well, sadly, yesterday morning specifically, I heard from Dexter. He did text me saying that they were making closing arguments. And then hours later, I received word that Dexter was convicted on all counts except two that they didn't vote on, but he was convicted on all counts. Sadly, it looks like he's facing up to 18 years in prison. Dexter, though, is a fighter, as many of you remember on this show. He is going to put all of his weight into this fight. It will take him years, sadly, to push back. It's a devastating story, but tomorrow we're going to have his attorney on to discuss everything. But if you'd like to help Dexter out, now would be a great time to head over to his Gifts and Go page. It's Dexter Taylor 2A Legal Fund. Dexter was sent to one of the most dangerous jails in the country, Rikers Island, and that's where he is right now. And he's going to be there for quite some time. He's not facing a sentencing, I believe, until May 13th. So that's where he's going to be for now. But ultimately, the reason why we wanted to ask for you to head over to his Gifts and Go page is just to make a donation, because this fight is going to be very expensive for Dexter. The appeals process is likely going to drag on, but he said he's going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So we look forward to speaking to his attorney tomorrow, who is actually going to also be speaking with Dexter as well before he joins us. So again, folks, if you could head over to his Gifts and Go page and support Dexter, he needs us all right now. This is just another friendly reminder to make sure you guys hit that like button right now. And make sure you guys are subscribed to our channels. And make sure you turn on those notifications as well, because we have so much exclusive content that will be dropping later this week. So you want to stay in the know, and the best way to do so is by making sure your notifications are on. So make sure you do that right now. We'll be right back in just a moment. I want to let our audience in on a little secret. I'm saving hundreds of dollars each year after switching over both of my lines to Patriot Mobile. Yes, so now my business and personal line are with Patriot Mobile. Now, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers that you're probably already using now, except it's less expensive. So my 5G towers that I love to use my old provider, I'm still using them now. I'm just paying significantly less money to do so. And on top of it all, Patriot Mobile believes in the same things you and I believe in. They have the same morals. So they donate to causes that are like pro-life causes, veteran causes, and even the NRA. It's incredible. So I highly recommend you head over to patriotmobile.com right now, take a look at their plans, and sign up. And today, if you sign up and use promo code Brianna, they're going to waive the activation fee. Yes, you heard it right. They're going to waive the activation fee. So make sure you use promo code Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Yesterday in New York City, there was, you know, a strange image of illegals flooding into the streets around City Hall. Over 1,000 of these African illegal aliens were taking to the streets. They were upset regarding their living conditions, apparently. And, well, there was only really one actual reporter who was brazen enough to start confronting these individuals, and she joins us now. Welcome to the show, Savannah Hernandez. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to mention to our audience, I mean, although you are like, you are a badass out there, you're also, your job title isn't badass. Your job title is, though, that you're a reporter with Frontline Turning Point USA, as well as a writer for the Post Millennial. Savannah, you were there yesterday. You were waiting out there. You were filming everything that was going on regarding these illegals who were, I guess, demanding more from the city. When you spoke with them, what were they telling you that they were looking for?
Well, Brianna, you know, we're always told that these are just poor, sad migrants that are here seeking a better life, that are here seeking asylum. But every single time I talk to them, they are 1,000% economic migrants. They are here solely because they're looking for work. They're specifically in New York because it's a sanctuary city. And let's not forget that Mayor Eric Adams just passed that new plan in which they're going to be allocating $53 million to these people, giving them debit cards, right? And it was funny because I was looking into this program specifically, and the reason they started it is because the migrants didn't like the food that they were being given. And so they were throwing it out or not eating it. And so Eric Adams' response to that was to coddle the migrants even more and give them prepaid debit cards. So just an idea of what's going on the streets of New York right now. And yes, what you're playing right now is the video of me from City Hall in New York, where I believe there were around 1,300 African migrants. Keep in mind that these are majority single men. Okay, yes. There's not really many women there. I honestly probably counted 10 in total. This was all men that were there. You couldn't speak to them. There was a huge language barrier. And the funniest thing was that they were doing a hearing at City Hall about the Black illegal immigrant experience.
Yes. Yes, yes. Well, that's the reason why they were there. And I also read reports that some of these migrants were saying that they were promised potential visas as well as green cards. Is that what you were hearing as well on the ground?
I didn't hear that from any of the migrants specifically, all of the people that I talked to, and it was very few because they speak French. I had a Spanish translator with me, but now everybody speaks French. You know, we have so many people coming from so many different countries. However, I do know that in terms of trying to get those work permits, that's what they were there for. And let's not forget as well that because New York is a sanctuary city, they do have the Real ID NYC program in which illegal immigrants can get identification that is state issue from New York. And with that ID, they can go and get access to all of the resources that New York has to offer. I was speaking to one migrant who said that he utilized this ID to get a job and get paycheck stubs. So he had a proof of residency in New York, which coincidentally is all you need to vote in the 2024 election. Just going to throw that out there. Yeah. But yes, there's so many different programs for these illegals. I just posted a new video of a Russian migrant bragging about how he's going to Chicago for free. And then after that, he is going to go to Los Angeles also for free. So he's really excited about all of these programs and relocation as well outside of this city center where they're giving these migrants free hotel rooms in 8 different languages. You can see all of the flyers posted saying, if you want to leave New York City, come to the front of the line and we will give you a free ticket, free plane ticket, bus ticket, train ticket to anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, I think that's the disturbing part in all of this. And you mentioned the Real IDs, which in itself was always actually a problem. I remember when I was living in New York, the DMVs actually sued the state over this because they had no way of authenticating the documents that were being handed over by these illegals. And they were just forced by the state to, regardless of if they believe that these documents weren't authentic or if they didn't have a way of even checking, to just give them a driver's license regardless. And that's why, you know, it's one of the many reasons why I left. But It's so many, it's what's led to so many incidences around the country too, because they're getting these IDs and then they're bringing them to states that don't normally accept them, like Florida, for an example, and they're trying to work here. So we had to step up, you know, our process to make sure that they couldn't work here. What was there? Okay. Actually, I want to bring up this one because this was a great one. You actually confronted a city employee. Now, this city employee was upset with you because you referred to them. Was it illegal immigrants? Is that how you, the term that you used?
Yes, illegal immigrants.
Well, they were very upset about it. And then you confronted him about being upset. Let's take a listen.
Excuse me, sir. As a city employee, you said that you don't like people using the word illegal immigrant. And can I just ask why you don't like that word? Can I just ask, sir? All right, y'all. So we're with the city employee here right now. And he was extremely upset because he asked us what was going on. And we were just telling him that there's illegal immigrants here. The city of New York spent it, or is going to be spending $12 billion. He's walking through this area to avoid talking to me. These are the employees of the city of New York who don't want the people to know what's going on. That there are 175,000 illegal immigrants. The city is slated to spend $12 billion on these people through 2025. He came up to us and asked, hey, what's going on? We said the illegal immigrants are here. And he said, that's not a nice word. Those are the employees of New York, by the way, my friends.
That's why New York has become a complete cesspool. It's because they're too worried about offending someone with their words, and they're not realistic. I mean, that's really ultimately why this is all taking place in the first place, because New York is not fighting back, and they're too concerned about being bigots and racist and being called all those mean names for saying that they don't belong in New York City, that they should not be coming through illegally, and they should be waiting in their native countries before they're granted access into our country. But they don't like those terms. Why did you confront this city employee and start filming him? Because I think that was an incredible video.
Thank you so much, Brianna. And I confronted him because every single government official that brought the city of New York, and more importantly, the United States of America to this point, needs to be questioned about their own policies and if they stand by them. And then also, I think that this terminology, right, where it's like, you can't say that, it's absolutely ridiculous. If the biggest problem that you're worried about is me using the word illegal immigrant or illegal alien, when said illegals are shooting American citizens, raping our children, taking advantage of our resources. Just the other month, a mob of illegals beat up an NYPD police officer. Let's not forget Lake and Riley. So it's like, it's mean that I called them an illegal, but was it mean when illegal immigrants beat up that NYPD police officer? Where's your comment on that?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, right? I can't tell. And you talk to more folks on the left, so you probably would know this better than me. But do you think it's just the fact that like a CNN, MSNBC, they're just not covering these issues? Or do you think that they just don't care? Because I can't imagine that being it. I can imagine just maybe they're just all brainwashed. Is that what you're seeing?
Absolutely. It's a brainwashing. It's the fact that a lot of these stories are downplayed. We all know, and we see it so many times, that if there's a mass shooting, but the color of the shooter is wrong, that shooting goes away. The gun control advocates don't use that story anymore. And I think we see a very similar pattern with the illegal immigrants. If it's a sad, poor illegal immigrant who's just here and they had a horrible journey through the Darien Gap and they're just here with their kids looking for a better life, that story is played up so much. But if you want to bring up the 100 other stories of illegal immigrants targeting American citizens, taking advantage of our resources, attacking our people, and more than anything, disrespecting our country, because let's not forget that if you illegally break into a country, you do not respect it at all. I mean, that's underreported every single time, and we know that.
Yeah, and I think there was a Guyanese flag that was being carried around yesterday by these individuals, and it's disgraceful because, number one, they're not coming here because they love our country. They're coming here to take, and people just don't want to accept that harsh reality to it all. Was there any point that you felt unsafe yesterday? Because, I mean, it was a lot, like you've mentioned, a lot of young men of military age, and they were gathering around. Even one kind of got aggressive with you when he caught you filming and tried getting you to stop. So did you ever feel unsafe?
Absolutely. I mean, it is a very unnerving feeling to go in and film these situations because you don't know how these people are going to react. And let's be honest, cultural assimilation is a very real thing that we are having trouble with in this country. You can't just import the third world. You can't import all of these people with different cultural backgrounds. If you want to look into, for example, what a couple of Middle Eastern countries and their regard for women is, right? Maybe they have different laws. Maybe they have different ideologies surrounding how people should live culturally. And we're very different here in the United States of America. And if you look at Europe, for example, right, they imported a lot of these various third world people, and their rape statistics shot up. So to be quite honest with you, as soon as I was walking through that park as a female American, I was just very concerned for all of the other women that are going to be living in this city.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that's what had me concerned when I was watching you. I know Laura Loomer was there. I know that Ashley St. Clair was there. And honestly, seeing the videos like made my stomach turn a little bit, because we know how these situations sometimes do end for women. And so I was on edge. And like you mentioned, I mean, the fact of the matter is New York is not a friendly place for women. It actually, I mean, with the passing of criminal justice reform in 2019, it's more of a criminal bill of rights. And so individuals like the ones you mentioned who were assaulting law enforcement in New York City, they sadly have more rights than the rest of us do. And there's very little that we could do to push back on all of this. Savannah, you're doing an incredible job. I want to remind our audience, your Twitter username is right now on the screen, but it's also going to be down in the description. So if you're not following her, make sure you give her a follow right now. You can see all the videos. There's so many more that we didn't even go through that you've posted online. So make sure you guys give that a look. Thank you so much, Savannah, for joining us. I greatly appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Brianna. A lot of fun being here.
If you enjoyed that interview, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube or listening on any of the podcasting platforms like Spotify or iTunes, make sure you give us a thumbs up or a five-star review. You could do so for every single episode, and we greatly appreciate it, of course. And if you're looking to support our independent program, you can head over to supportbree.com. That's supportbree.com. That's where you can either place a one-time donation or a monthly donation. You can pick the dollar amount. It's completely up to you guys, of course. And we greatly appreciate, like I mentioned, because, well, I'm an independent journalist and the people that help this show are also working independently as well. So everything you give goes directly to us. That is the best way to support us. So head over to supportbree.com right now. We'll be right back after this.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
Oh, this is a good story. You guys got to see this one. In Wyoming, PETA tried holding a protest, of course, and they were looking to force the elected officials to push on a tax regarding meat. So they wanted to charge meat eaters taxes. And well, if you're wondering who showed up, I'm proud to tell you, nobody did. This is what the protest looked like. Obviously, not a very popular one, of course. But it's incredible to see. I'm a big fan of this because anytime you get a push back on all these nut jobs and remind them that they are all alone in this fight towards I don't even know what, I love it. I think it's hilarious. And joining me to get a good laugh is JD Rucker. JD is the co-founder of BriannaMeat.com. JD, I was so proud of my fellow Americans for not showing up to this PETA protest. I think it's very important that we push back by ignoring these idiots. What were your thoughts?
No, I wholeheartedly agree. I will be reaching out to them, though. I want you to know that I want those cow suits. My gosh, you know how much fun it would be to do your show while wearing one of those cow suits, probably the one on the right. That's that looks more my style.
I like
that. Would
it
be a lot of fun.
That yeah, fun. I'll do the one in the middle.
Yeah, and people don't care. Yeah. We can just we'll start a new show. Two cows. Two cows and Brianna's meat.com. Yeah,
love it.
No, here's the. It is funny, but I want to be clear about something. This is something that, you know, maybe your audience doesn't want to hear, because this is funny good news. This is a feel good story. But there's a reason why PETA has been unsuccessful. Do you know what that reason is? It's because the government, the powers that be, the uniparty swamp, the globalist elite cabal, they've taken over the push. In other words, you don't need the people to rise up and say, tax the meat. You've got government officials, bureaucrats, politicians, globalists already out there doing it for them. So there's no passion behind organizations like PETA anymore, or Greenpeace. The whole climate change agenda that they were pushing for, the whole anti-meat, anti-beef agenda that PETA has been pushing for, they got it. They won. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying that they won the battle, but they won the fight to get woke politicians on their side and actually taking action on their behalf. And this is, so again, this is great because it shows the people don't care, but we still have a fight ahead of us, Brianna, because we have to fight now a much more hideous and powerful group, that being the powers that be, the powers and principalities that want us eating zip bugs or eating lab grown meat or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy because I was actually looking on Twitter. There was these tortilla shells and they had bugs in them, but they don't tell you straight up. You have to like scan a code that it brings you to the website that tells you that there's bugs, I guess, grinded up into these tortilla shells. And obviously none of us would have a way of knowing that without looking. I think it was Alex Jones who actually shared that clip. But it's so interesting because, again, PETA, I think that they're just radical crazy, and I just don't think they're relatable to most Americans. Even if you are a vegetarian, it's very hard for you to sit here and go, that's my crowd of people. Why do you think they still continue to do this? I mean, nobody takes them seriously at this point because they're so extreme, and no one's obviously showing up to their events. So why do they keep this thing going?
If they have to throw something up against the wall. There's still funding. There's still a handful of people that care about the concepts and ideas. And I've seen what they do on social media. You think this is funny. You should see the backlash they get whenever they post anything on social media. They've really just lost. Like they were kind of loony before. Okay. Yeah. But during the Alicia Silverstone days, but over the last, I would say 4 to 6 years, because nobody pays attention, because nobody cares about their cause, they've tried to compensate by being just way over the top. And like they're driving people away. Very similar to, by the way, the climate change protesters, the pro-Hamas protesters. It was John Fetterman, okay, Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, who sometime this week he said basically, hey, you guys blocking the roads and stuff. You're not getting anybody on your side. You're making yourselves look like a-holes is the variation of the word that he used. And he's absolutely right. PETA's the granddaddy group of, we'll say, undesirables. And they doubled down and tripled down. Now we're seeing it with climate change. We're seeing it with all these other protests. We'll see. But the bottom line is that people need to just pretend like PETA's dead. Pretend like they are extinct, because like you said, even in Wyoming, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And that's the best part of this story. So I was like, we have to get JD on to talk about this because, well, I could appreciate some serious pushback by just no one showing up to these stupid protests that they have. So this is amazing. But let's just say, hypothetically, they get what they want and they get these taxes and eventually eliminate meat products from being able to be sold to us, or they create some type of shortages. Because, again, it's not just PETA, like you mentioned. It's all these globalist animals who want to sit here and dictate what you and I get to consume. You, my friend, are the co-founder of a great product. Again, it's BriannaMeat.com, but it's a prepper product that allows people to kind of have their own independence and not rely on, you know, the rest of the world to keep them going if we were ever to have an incident. So I want to talk about your products and why they are, again, not like the beef crumbles that a lot of these other prepping companies try to push onto the public, but your products are top notch. Let's talk about your products a bit and why they are so important to have in your home and slowly start building up their own, you know, stash.
I'm glad that you mentioned the beef crumbles, because look, there are people out there, plenty of people. And I would probably classify myself as one of them, as far as the people that we do believe that things are going to go crazy. And as soon as I can afford it, I'll get me a bunker and I'll be completely off grid and nobody will know where I am. And I won't have a TikTok account. Okay. Like the full blown preppers will probably be stuck with beef crumbles and really bad stuff. But not all of us. I personally won't. But there's a growing number of people that are becoming what we like to call lifestyle preppers. And these lifestyle preppers, they don't want to sit there for weeks, months, years at a time eating beef crumbles, because anybody who's ever had freeze-dried beef crumbles, it's basically meat-flavored porridge. We're pushing and promoting products over at BriannaMeat.com that people can actually eat on a daily basis today. You don't have to wait for an emergency. This is ribeye. It's New York strip. It's tenderloin. It's sirloin. It's the good stuff that people, you're probably eating it already. You know, not the freeze-dried version, but yeah. You could. It's funny. We had a Wrangler star. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They have a popular YouTube channel. And we sent her a sample. And she's on video opening the bag, and she takes it out of the bag, she eats it, and she's like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And she reads the bag, she's like, oh, it's freeze-dried. You're supposed to rehydrate it. So then it gets to her, she's rehydrating, and she's like, oh my gosh, this is really good. It was funny. This stuff, it is, once you rehydrate it, because it is freeze-dried, that's what gives it the 25-year shelf life. Once you rehydrate it, you can do so much with it. Yeah. And that's what people want. People don't want to just survive if things go south, or if they cut off beef, or if PETA somehow is able to have a miraculous comeback and make outlaw eating beef. No, they want to be able to eat the good stuff. And that's what we provide over at BriannaMeat.com.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so important, right? Because there's so many companies out there that are selling prepper products, and for the price, you're not getting the best quality, and there should be a higher standard, a higher quality, and that's what you're getting with these products. Now, I've used your products before. I talk about them all the time on the show, obviously, but it is real beef. It is, you're not getting the fat, which is so important to highlight. It's just straight protein, which obviously I'm an advocate for these days. And it's the best possible cut. And it was so easy for me to prep. I literally just boiled some beef broth, and you don't even have to boil it. I'm just a little fancy these days. But I boiled it, I poured it over my product, my steak itself, and then I let it sit there for a little bit. And then it only took, I don't know, I think it took less than an hour for it to rehydrate completely. And I'm a big soy sauce person. And I know for folks at home, if we were to ever have an issue like that, everyone's got those like leftover Chinese sauces in their fridge just sitting there that they, you know, just kind of toss away. So you've already got the soy sauce. So I poured the soy sauce over to see if it was good. And it was great. I mean, honestly, you wouldn't have even known that this was potentially freeze dried. It tasted like I just made it. And it was like some type of like stew almost. I think that's amazing. And I also want to talk about the 25-year shelf life, because I think that's really important, JD, that we talk about that, we highlight that. Your product will last up to 25 years potentially if it's stored properly. And that is a great option. And on top of that, before I let you talk about the 25-year shelf life, I want to remind our audience, there's a temporary sale that's going on right now. When you use promo code BRE25, that's BRE25, you get 25% off plus free shipping, plus 10% is going to be donated to a veteran cause. But I wanted to mention that because before you start talking about the 25-year shelf life, it has to do a lot with that because, well, this is a good option to slowly start building up your supply at home. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm slowly building up my supply. So to use this temporary promo code and just start building up on it, I think is important. And again, it could last up to 25 years. So JD, how are you able to do that? How is your product able to last potentially up to 25 years if it's stored properly?
Sure. So there's four things that make food age. Number one is oxygen. Number mm-hmm. two is moisture or water. Number three is sunlight. And number four is critters. Okay. Yes. All of this. Now, you notice people will say, well, what about bacteria or viruses or anything like that? If you eliminate those first four, bacteria, viruses, they can't spread. They can't grow. Okay. Yeah. You cannot eliminate bacteria. It is impossible. Yeah. You cannot completely eliminate fungus. You cannot completely eliminate any of these various things. I mean, they're in your own body, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to eliminate things that are already in food, no matter what, eliminate the ability for it to grow. And that's how you're able to maintain this perfect shelf life. We use zero preservatives, none, okay? But we after we freeze drying it, takes out all the moisture. Putting them in Mylar bags, very thick Mylar bags, eliminates sunlight from being able to get in there.
Yeah.
Putting them in there and sealing them with oxygen absorbers takes away, obviously, the oxygen. Now, as far as critters, the bags are sturdy, but, you know, look, if you've got a certain type of critter problem, it's not gonna work. So I always recommend put them in like a plastic container. You know, store them in, take the bags and put them. When you say store properly, the best way to do it to me is just take it, put it in like a, you know, one of those plastic containers that with a sealable lids. That should, I know some critters can still get in, but that should be able to eliminate that. If you do that stuff, 25-year shelf life, no refrigeration required. Even after you open the bags, because there's no water in them before you rehydrate them, they'll still stay good for an extended period of time, like 6 months. And if you refrigerate them after you open the bag, because the bag's resealable, it's got 12 servings, so some people will want to reseal it, put it in the refrigerator, then it'll still last 6 months. Because even though you've introduced oxygen, if as long as you reseal it, there's still no moisture. There's still no critters, hopefully. There's no critters in your fridge, and there's no sunlight. So you should be in good shape for it to still last 4 to 6 months even after opening.
That's amazing.
Does that answer the question?
It does. It does. And that's the best part about all of this is most people think like when you're preparing that you have to kind of take a step down in quality. And with your products, that's not the case. I think that's what's so important here. And, you know, just when you were talking, JD, I kind of built up my shopping cart because this promo code is just amazing right now. And I just stocked it up with three of my favorites, the beefsteak, the dried ribeye, and then the freeze dried New York strip. And with the promo code BREE25, I'm actually saving $109 right now for just using that temporary promo code. It's not going to go on for much longer. But I also wanted to mention to our audience too, now is a great time to slowly build up your stash of all of this. And here's why. Not only can you get the 25% off with BREE25, but you could actually subscribe and get an extra 10% off. So that would be 35% off. And you guys could pick if you want to, you know, maybe one day just no longer, you've built up your stash enough, you don't need it anymore. You could cancel it. You're able to do so. But you're saving so much money, you're getting a high quality product. And then you even have other things like you get packages. And there's just so many cool ways where you could save money on this and slowly build up your supply. So I love it. I know our audience loves it too, JD, because, you know, they're reaching out to us. They're telling us that they love the products, that they're loving just kind of slowly building up their supply through the subscription side of all of this. And so I think that's amazing. So again, guys, I wanted to highlight for our audience with the promo code BREE25, that's BRE25, you're going to get 25% off. If you subscribe, you get an extra 10% off. So that's 35% off. Plus, you're also going to get free shipping, and 10% of the proceeds from the sale are actually going to go to a veteran cause. JD, I mean, I couldn't imagine a reason why folks at home right now wouldn't want to jump in on this offer, because it's not going to last for long. And I think that's really important. And I think it's also important to drive home the point that so many Americans are doing this right now, because it's not just for a doomsday situation. There could be like a hurricane here in Florida. We have them quite often. This is something that you're going to want in your house because your fridge isn't going to work anymore, obviously, because you're going to lose power. You could be trapped in your home for over 2 weeks. And so this is a great resource. I'm a major fan, JD. JD Rucker, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And I know our audience is loving your products and loves your insight as well, of course. So thank you.
But not my humor? I'm just kidding.
Oh, your humor too. That's actually why we have you back. We don't like people when they're too serious. Thank you, JD. I know, me either.
Thank you so much.
I can't stop bragging about how my quality of sleep has completely changed since I've switched over to MyPillow Giza bed sheets. These sheets are incredible, and you have to try them yourself. They're soft, they're thick. It's just a better quality of sleep, and I am thrilled to tell everyone about it. I can't stop talking about it. These new sheets are incredible. So if you're interested in improving your sleep, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com. And if you're looking to secure up to 66% off, you gotta use promo code Brianna. That's promo code BREANNA. That's BREANNA. And you can only get it over at MyPillow.com. So if you're looking to improve your sleep, make sure you use promo code Brianna to secure your 60% off at MyPillow.com. I really do love my Giza bed sheets from My Pillow. I'm telling you guys, it's a complete game changer. They are incredible. I sleep in them obviously every night. I've gotten my friends a set of them as well. My family is also sleeping in those as well, and everyone is loving them. So head over to mypillow.com right now. And if Brianna's too difficult to spell, we got you. You could also use promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. Gives you the same amazing discount. You'll get up to 66% off. It's the best promo code you could use over at MyPillow.com. So again, folks, use promo code B-R-E. That's BREE to secure up to 66% off. Well, we wanted to thank you guys for joining us today. It was another great edition of my show, of course, but... And by the way, I'm pretty biased, so don't take my word for it. But we're looking forward to having you back on the program tomorrow. We've got a packed program with some exclusive content that will be dropping tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you join us again. Have a great evening. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.